Today, muddling through a market update for the week of the 24th of December 2022. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Well, investors have dumped equities at a record pace in the days since major central banks signalled they won't be deterred in their fight against inflation. And it's perhaps a fitting end to the worst year for world stocks since the global financial crisis. Equity funds were hit by outflows of almost $42 billion. That's the highest ever in a week when the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan all sounded staunchly hawkish notes in their policy outlook for next year, squashing bets of an imminent return to the era of cheap money. In fact, the markets drifted into a weary close ahead of the Christmas break and closed slightly higher on Friday. And Treasury yields advanced as investors digested a deluge of economic data ahead of the holiday long weekend. But this capped a week fraught with worries over the Fed's restrictive monetary policy and related recession fears, and volumes were way, way down, with thin trading volumes creating more exaggerated moves on Thursday and Friday. And on US exchanges, 7.75 billion shares changed hands on Friday, compared with the 11.41 billion averaged over the last 20 sessions. On the political front, the US House of Representatives passed the $1.7 trillion bill to fund government operations on Friday by a vote of 255 to 201, paving the way for President Joe Biden to sign it into law. Now, investors have been jittery since last week as the Fed indicated that it remained stubbornly committed to achieving the 2% inflation goal and projected rate hikes to above 5% in 2023, a level not seen since 2007. The markets are on edge over what the path for the Fed policy is going to be for next year, as it's going to drive the economy and corporate earnings. Joe Quinlan, head of CIO Market Strategy of America Private Bank, called Fed hawkishness the big cloud on the horizon. Today is more of a muted response to good data, but it's still not all clear, mission accomplished, he said, adding that analysts' earnings estimates for 2023 are likely still too high. Everyone's waiting for 2023 to have a fresh take again, said Paul Kim, chief executive of Simplify ETFs in New York. For the week, the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq posted their third straight Friday-to-Friday losses. As the remaining trading days in 2022 tick away, all three indices appear to set to close the books on their steepest annual percentage plunge since 2008, the darkest year of the global financial crisis. This was the year where diversification failed and everything sold off together, a maximum pain year where both bonds and equities sold off, Kim added. There was nowhere to hide. A slew of data from the Commerce Department and the University of Michigan showed that while inflation appears to be cooling, so is consumer spending, which accounts for about 70% of the year's economy. On the other hand, new home sales posted a surprise gain and consumer sentiment brightened. A benchmark survey showed that US consumers expect price pressures to moderate notably into next year, with the one-year inflation outlook dropping to the lowest in 18 months in December. But the data did little to move the needle regarding Fed policy expectations. US consumer spending barely rose in November while inflation cooled further, but not enough to discourage the US Federal Reserve from driving interest rates to higher levels next year. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, that's the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, rose 0.1% last month after climbing 0.4% in October. The core PCI price index, that's the yardstick the Fed uses for its inflation target, was released from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. It excludes the always volatile food and energy products to present a picture of underlying inflation. Many goods prices have declined on a month-to-month basis as inflation has shifted from goods to services. And Powell has been hammering on the services segments within the PCE price index, where inflation has risen and is persisting. Almost two-thirds of the money that consumers spend goes into services, so the services PCE is the biggie. And inflation is much harder to uproot from services, as Powell has pointed out, which is why he said the Fed would keep an eye on inflation in services. The PCE price index for services rose 0.4% in November from October. That's the same as the prior month, and roughly double the rate before the pandemic. It zigzags up and down, of course, as month-to-month inflation readings do, but the trend is not down. There isn't even a convincing sign of a turning point in the uptrend. On a year-over-year basis, the PCE price index for services rose 5.2%, and it's now been above 5% for the fourth month in a row and is not showing any signs of a substantive decline. This is very discouraging and the source of frustration that Powell recently expressed. So while goods inflation is falling, mainly due to base effects, services inflation driven by higher wages is still driving higher. The PCE price index for durable goods, new and used vehicles, appliances, furniture, etc., is definitely showing a downtrend and has turned negative on a month-on-month basis for the second month in a row. In November, it dropped by 0.8% from October. That's the biggest month-to-month drop in years. Inflation looks fairly sticky and interest rates keep mounting up, Kim said. And the punchline is interest rates will have to be higher for longer. Friday's data and the fact that it came in roughly in line with expectations did ease some of those concerns for now, according to Sean Krutz, head trading strategist at TD Ameritrade. This is a clear indication that this is a bad news is good news kind of market. The market wants the Fed to feel what they're doing has been enough, said Krutz. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.53% to 33,204. The S&P 500 gained 0.59% to 3,844. And the Nasdaq Composite added 0.21% to 10,497. Tesla's shares had touched a more than two-year low in volatile trading, as boss Elon Musk's promise to not sell his shares for at least 2 years did not reassure investors. And based on higher inventory levels, recent price cuts, and overall production slowdowns in China, it is becoming clearer, based on the work, that Tesla will likely miss reduced street estimates for the fourth quarter with a softer trajectory for 2023, Wedbush said in a note. And Dow Jones parent News Corp gained 2.8%, making it the second biggest percentage gainer in the S&P Communications Services Index after a report that billionaire businessman Michael Bloomberg was interested in acquiring either Dow Jones or The Washington Post. And in big tech, Alphabet was the biggest gainer, up nearly 2%, after Citi said YouTube's deal to exclusively stream the National Football League's Sunday Ticket could boost subscriber growth. The deal deepens YouTube's overall content strategy in a key live sports vertical, Citi said. And Meta, meanwhile, rose nearly 1%, reaching an $825 million settlement with users of its Facebook platform following a privacy lawsuit that claimed the social media shared user data with Cambridge Analytica. Treasury yields resumed their upward trajectory after data showed personal income rising more than expected, and October inflation data was upwardly revised. Benchmark 10-year notes was at 3.751%, while the 2-year was at 4.3275, still, of course, in recession inversion. The dollar fluctuated but remained essentially unchanged against a basket of world currencies after two gains of gains as market participants weighed the probability of interest rates rising further and staying there longer than many might have hoped. The dollar index fell 0.1% to 104.32, with the euro up 0.19% to 1.0613. Gold advanced amid dollar weakness ahead of the long weekend, with the futures up 0.6% to 1,805, while silver was up 1.26% to 23.93. Energy shares stood out as the biggest advances throughout the session, as oil prices gained following news of Moscow's plans to cut crude output in response to the G7 price cap on Russian exports. US crude oil prices settled higher on Friday, as Moscow said it may cut oil production to offset price caps on Russian crude imposed by the G7 nations and by the European Union. In fact, Russia may cut its oil output by somewhere between 500,000 and 700,000 barrels a day in early 2023, according to Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak. Novak said Moscow would lean toward cutting production rather than selling crude in line with the price cap. The Group of Seven Nations and the European Union agreed earlier this month to cap the price of Russian seaborne crude oil at $60 a barrel. The price cap aims to curb Russia's income from oil sales, primarily to hinder its ability to fund its war against Ukraine and to keep a lid on global oil prices. But many argue the price cap hasn't dented Russia's income from oil exports, which have found willing buyers from China India, and Turkey. Possible production cuts from Moscow stoked fears of a potential supply shortage as demand looks set to receive a boost from the China reopening. Oil demand from China, the world's top oil importer, could reach 15.7 million barrels per day in 2023. That's around 700,000 barrels higher than in 2022, according to S&P estimates. Meanwhile, a winter storm is hitting large parts of the US, triggering warnings from Maine to the Gulf of Mexico. This has resulted in thousands of flights being cancelled, but also an increase in demand for energy to heat homes and offices. WTI US crude rose 2.4% to settle at $79.35 a barrel, while Brent settled at $84.54 per barrel, up 4.4% on the day. European stock markets edged higher on Friday in thin holiday-affected volumes, with investors digesting the release of more regional growth and inflation data. The Pan-European Stock 600 index rose 0.05%, and the MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe gained 0.23%. The DAX index in Germany traded 0.19% higher to 13,940. The FTSE in the UK climbed 0.05% to 7,473, and the CAC 40 in France traded down 0.2% to 6,504. Economic data released this week has helped the European markets approach the close of the year with a certain degree of optimism that the recession expected for the region in 2023 might not be quite as bad as first feared. That said, factory gate prices out of France, the Eurozone's second largest economy, rose a hefty 1.2% in November, ahead of the drop of 0.2% expected, indicating the difficulties the European Central Bank will have controlling inflation in the region. The Spanish economy only grew 0.1% in the third quarter. That's below the 0.2% expected. But the country's GDP grew 2% at the previous quarter, having been revised higher. Trading, of course, was light on Friday, being the last working day before the Christmas holiday, with the UK stock markets closing early. In corporate news, Stellantis stocks rose 1.4% after the world's third largest car maker announced that it had entered exclusive talks with France's Faurecia and Michelin to buy a substantial stake in their Symbio joint venture. That's a fuel cell system maker. Inditex stocks rose 0.2% after planned strikes at the fashion retailer Zara shops in the company's hometown in northern Spain were called off following an agreement on a pay rise. And emerging market stocks lost 0.99%, with MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside Japan down 1.1%, while Japan's Nikkei lost 1.03%. The sell-off in equity holdings came in a week where investors were rattled by the Bank of Japan's surprise monetary policy tweak on Tuesday. With an historic approach to ultra-low interest rates, deflationary Japan has set the floor for global rates for the past 30 years, BOA said, adding that this floor would now be higher with the planned end of the BOJ's yield curve control in 2023. This surprise announcement from the Bank of Japan sent investors spinning and global markets reeling on Tuesday. The country's central bank signaled that it would reverse two decades of policy precedent and begin to move away from loose monetary policy intended to keep wages and prices high. The move, which opens the door to future rate hikes, stoked investors' fears that the global war on inflation is still roaring on and that a recession is unavoidable. The theme of 2022 has been higher interest rates. Over 90% of central banks have hiked rates this year, making the mostly global coordinated effort to fight persistent inflation unprecedented, according to LPL Financial. There has, however, been one notable exception to the rule, Japan. But that all changed this week. The Japanese central bank loosened the yield on its 10-year government bonds from 0.25% to 0.5%. At the same time, the bank will increase its monthly bond purchases to $67 billion from around $55 billion. The 10-year was last at 0.371, down 2.75% on the day. The move sent the yen soaring to a four-month high against the US dollar, its largest one-day jump in 24 years, and wreaked havoc on global stock and bond trading. Japanese rates remain low, but Tuesday's move means that the world's third largest economy now sees inflation as a risk. The Japanese yen weakened 0.36% versus the greenback at 132.80 per dollar on Friday. And China continues to wrestle with COVID after opening up quickly and continued poor economic news, though there was more talk this week of further government stimulus aimed at supporting the economy. By the way, around 20% of young people there are currently unemployed. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.28% to 3,045, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.44% to 19,593. Nearly 37 million people in China may have been infected with COVID-19 on a single day this week, according to estimates from the government's top health authority, making the country's outbreak by far the world's largest. As many as 248 million people, or nearly 18% of the population, lightly contracted the virus in the first 20 days of December, according to minutes from an internal meeting of China's National Health Commission held on Wednesday, confirmed with people involved in the discussions. If accurate, the infection rate would dwarf the previous daily record of about 4 million set in January 2022. Beijing's swift dismantling of COVID zero restrictions has led to the unfettered spread of the highly contagious Omicron variant in a population with low levels of natural immunity. More than half the residents of Sichuan province in China's southwest and the capital city Beijing have been infected, according to the agency's estimates. How the Chinese health regulator came up with that estimate is unclear, as the country shut down its once ubiquitous network of PCR testing booths earlier this month, and precise infection rates have been difficult to establish in other countries during the pandemic, as hard-to-get laboratory tests were supplanted by home testing, with results that weren't centrally collected. Now, here in Australia, the S&P ASX 200 declined in broad losses on the last trading day before Christmas, tracking a lackluster session on Wall Street on Thursday. The Star Entertainment Group tumbled 4.8% to $1.88.5, its lowest since the onset of the pandemic. The casino giant said it would assess the impact of the New South Wales government's planned increased duty rates on its operations and pay a pecuniary penalty of $100 million in three installments next year. The S&P ASX 200 slipped 0.63% to 7,107. The All Ordinaries also lost 0.6% to 7,287. In fact, 10 out of 11 sectors fell, with tech stocks bearing the brunt, down 1.6%. For the week, the main index dropped 0.6% in the third consecutive week of losses. Takeover target Warrego Energy tumbled 4.6% to 31 cents in a brutal bidding war between Hancock Energy and Strike. Strike said Warrego shareholders, holding a total of 15.45%, had confirmed their intention to support its bid, while rival Hancock removed all conditions on its 28 cents all-cash offer. Food and beverage company Retail Food Group jumped 10.1% to 7 cents. It settled legal proceedings for misleading representations with the ACCC, agreeing to pay $10 million. Biotech Mesoblast slipped 3.8% to 89.5 cents after securing an up to $30 million loan from Oaktree Capital and filing $125 million US dollar issue of American Depositary Receipts, the ADSs, with the US SEC. Digital video systems maker Motio leapt 21.2% to 4 cents after its acquisition of O Media's Cafe Network for $2.35 million, and Neuron Pharmaceuticals jumped 6% to $8.27 following its application for a new drug in the US. Graphite play Syrah Resources rallied 2.2% to $2.33 after Tesla increased its planned offtake of active anode material. Major banks were mixed. CBA was down 0.76% to 104.82. NZ was up 0.25% to 24.07. NAB was down 0.46% to $30.38. And Westpac was down 0.21% to 23.50. Macquarie was down 0.43% to 167.92. And mining giants also lost ground, with BHP Group down 0.2% to 46.16, and Fortescue Metals dropped 0.6% to 20.57. Rio Tinto edged up, though, 0.5% to 115.43. Energy companies stayed on the back foot, even as oil prices bounced on expectations Russian crude exports from the Baltic region will slip in December. Santos retreated 1.5% to $7.20. Beach Energy slumped 2.1%. to $1.59.5, and Woodside fell 1.3% to $35.86. The Aussie was up 0.73% to $67.15 on a weaker US dollar and at 55.73 cents against the UK pound. And an update this week, Westpac said it now expects the fourth quarter consumer price index, the CPI, to grow at an annual rate of 1.6% instead of the earlier predicted 2% due to downgrades of its forecast for food, auto fuel and dwelling prices. Westpac said its end-2022 forecast for the CPI had been lowered from an annual rate of 8% to 7.5%, while the trimmed mean forecast is now 6.7% from its earlier estimate of 6.8%. As 2022 ends, we're increasingly confident that the December quarter will see the peak in the inflationary pulse, said Westpac's senior economist Justin Smirk. So as we head into 2023, the question is shifting from worrying about how much further the inflationary pulse may have left to run to questioning how fast will that pulse disinflate, Mr. Smirk noted. And in fact, globally, investors shed stocks at the highest weekly rate ever in the week to Wednesday, selling a net $41.9 billion worth of equities, according to a report from Bank of America Global Research on Friday that attributed the sell-off to tax-related purposes. U.S. value funds and passive equities also recorded record weekly net outflows of $17.2 billion and $27.8 billion, respectively, the bank said. Bank of America said tax loss harvesting was behind the record outflows, a strategy that involves selling assets at a loss to offset capital gains taxes. Investors also reduced their cash holdings by a net $59.5 billion. That's the biggest drop since February 2022, and sold the largest quantity of investment-grade and high-yield bonds in 9 weeks. Local emerging market bonds drew their first net inflow since April, though, while emerging market equities recorded a third week of inflows, adding a net $3.2 billion. As a result, the bank's analysts said they preferred commodities over credit, rest of the world stocks over US stocks, and small caps over large. And on a sector basis, they favour value over growth, and industrials and banks over tech and private equity. Stocks took a hit last week after several major central banks raised interest rates, including the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, along with warnings that more hikes were needed to curtail inflation. And the US benchmark S&P 500 has fallen 3.6% in the last 10 days, and is at a more than a six-week low, while the pan-European Stock 600 index retreated from a six-month high last week. Bond funds recorded net outflows of $10 billion, prompting a small drop in the Bank of America's bull and bear indicator to 3 from 3.1 last week, which was its highest since March the 15th. And finally, in crypto, Bitcoin saw a flicker of volatility around the December 23rd Wall Street open as the latest United States inflation data came in line with expectations. The impact of the November US Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index print was notably muted, though, despite the data forming a key plank of Federal Reserve policy. Even in the low volume, low volatility environment that Bitcoin continues to trade in, PCE barely moved markets as traders began to accept that Christmas 2022 may be an underwhelming one. Hope you enjoyed that little crumb of vol. It's probably the last, popular Twitter account Byzantine General said. And fellow trader and analyst Il Capo of crypto remains bearish, arguing that the inability to break 17,000, that's for Bitcoin, says it all. Data from on-chain analytics resource Material Indicators, meanwhile, showed significant bid interest parked at 16,500 US on the Binance order book. Bitcoin was last at 16,807, while Ether was at 1,221. So as we come into Christmas, yeah, it's still looking pretty wobbly and the inflation pressures are still there. Markets are still overvalued. So we can expect, I think, 2023, at least the first half of the year, to be continued troublesome. Meanwhile, have a break, because of course, when you come back in the new year, the markets will still be crazy, because those central banks are still chasing higher rates. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.